This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's be honest with each other, shall we? Airport bars and St. Patrick's Day, probably the only two times when it's socially acceptable to start drinking before sunrise.
6 a.m. or do people actually show up at 6 a.m. to drink?
They do. They line up.
They line up. Welcome to the LA Local for Monday, March 17th, where we're pouring out a green one for everyone's favorite patron, St. Patty. Before I get too deep into the green beers, let me first tell you that the LA Local is brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your jolly green host, Jonathan Service. Coming up on today's Local, first, the good news. Crime stats are headed in the right direction for the city of Los Angeles. Now for the bad news, the city is going broke. So that's always fun. All of that coming up, plus the Dodgers take over Tokyo, why God hates Malibu, and we talk with one of those smug LA marathon runners. Let's start with a hopeful note, shall we? Violent crime dropped, in some cases, pretty dramatically across the city of Los Angeles last year. KNX News City Hall Bureau Chief Craig Figner got the 2024 stats from LAPD Chief Jim McDonnell.
The total number of police officers employed by LAPD has been far below the 9,000 mark for some time now. Despite that, the new numbers on crime for last year when compared to the year before are remarkable. Homicides dropped 14% last year over the year before. And the number of people shot in Los Angeles, that number down in double digits as well, 19%. Here's LAPD Chief Jim McDonald.
Aggravated assaults. We saw a large decline in the number of aggravated assaults. From 20,042 in 23 to 17,671 in 2024. In looking at both a decrease in homicides and the number of people shot, it's important to acknowledge that in 2024, LAPD removed 7,634 firearms from the street. Of those, 790 were ghost guns, which we know are often used in criminal activity.
Chief McDonald says LAPD still struggles when it comes to hiring new officers, but there was a bright spot there too. He said last November, applications were at a 4-year high.
You know, one interesting thing worth following up on is the crime spikes in Los Angeles and so many other big cities during the COVID pandemic and all the reasons behind it. We'll get into that. Stay tuned for that on later podcasts. Sticking with the hopeful that is if you're a California Republican, the state GOP is hoping that Donald Trump's victory back in November might break the dam on Democratic control of the Golden State. California's GOP elected a new chairperson at this weekend's state convention. Corinne Rankin will take over from Jessica Milan Patterson. Patterson was the first Latino chairperson for the state Republicans, while Rankin marks the first black leader of the state party. We talk with Republican political strategist Tim Rosales, who says they are bullish at winning over California Democrats and independents and making a competitive run for the governorship next year.
The issues you're hearing at the national level are the same issues that people are concerned about here, you know, locally and at the state level. People are concerned about cost of living. And they have been concerned about cost of living. They certainly were under the Biden years, and they've been concerned about the rising high cost of living since the Democrats have controlled California for nearly 40 years. And so that is a key issue. And they're saying, hey, give us a chance. And you see Democratic voters and independent voters voting for Republicans for state legislative office and for Congress, and also talking about issues like border security, which is critically important, particularly in California. And you're seeing, like we haven't seen in years past, Latino voters, voting more for Republicans, or at least in certain areas, more for Republicans and willing to give Republicans a chance, which is huge. And particularly they're concerned about issues like border security.
Republicans haven't won statewide races here in California in like 20 years. So let's see if they can break the Democratic stranglehold on state politics starting next year. Now for the less hopeful news, probably best to deliver this sobering report before all of that green beer kicks in. The city of Los Angeles is broke. Our Craig Figner is back to explain.
Los Angeles just might need to borrow $525 million to get through the upcoming fiscal year, which begins July 1st. That's what City Controller Kenneth Mejia is expected to tell the city's budget committee. His report says that the LA wildfires have created enormous uncertainty when it comes to revenue from property, sales, and business taxes. Los Angeles gets more than half of its annual revenue from those three tax categories. And Mejia says, well, there's a projected cash crunch where LA will owe hundreds of millions of dollars long before it's actually collected any of that tax revenue. And normally the city would dip into its reserve fund to cover this shortfall, but did that last year, so no reserve fund there this year.
I mean, think about the expenditures that are coming up. Not only will Los Angeles city government have some significant costs as part of the cleanup of Pacific Palisades after the January fires, the city also desperately needs to boost the ranks of LAPD officers and LA City firefighters. Then there's this. There are some big and expensive hosting duties coming up for the city with next year's FIFA World Cup tournament and the 2028 Olympics. If I were Mayor Karen Bass or a city council member, I would probably avoid looking at the city's credit card statement for quite some time. So what is Mother Nature's problem with Malibu? Fires, floods, landslides, and for the third weekend in a row, earthquakes. Our Brian Ping explained how Malibu is racking up the natural disasters these days.
A 3.9 magnitude quake hit Malibu at 8:17 p.m., centered a few miles west of Point Doom. Oddly enough, this is the third straight Sunday that an earthquake of magnitude 3.9 or greater has been centered in L.A. County. No damage or injuries have been reported. This listener told us he felt the quake in Calabasas.
Shook our house pretty significantly, and it lasted approximately, I'm going to say, 5 to 7 seconds. And it did feel like there may have been a real problem. This was not a little earthquake, at least by the way that it felt.
We also heard from this listener in Malibu.
We just had a jolt earthquake, without doubt. Don't know if it was something from last week's earthquake, but a big jolt.
That caller was referring to a 3.3 that hit close by in Malibu last Monday morning. The U.S. Geological Survey's shake map says it could be felt from Ventura to Long Beach.
Seriously, man, lay off Malibu. Give those guys a break. Let them surf in peace. All right, quick break here to take care of some business. And we're coming back with Dodger Blue, St. Patrick's Day Green, and blacking out after running the L.A. Marathon. This is the L.A. Local, brought to you by the L.A. Car Guy family of dealerships. Your Los Angeles Dodgers take their championship expectations on the road for an appropriate opening day venue at the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan, of course, where Japanese superstar Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and rookie Roki Sasaki will lead the boys in blue against the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs actually have two Japanese players on their roster as well, but who cares about them? KNX News morning anchor Vicky Moore caught up with a Dodgers superfan who went to Tokyo to soak in this most unusual opening day.
Tokyo has been a sea of Dodger blue for this series.
This is the line at the merch store. Look at this. You've never seen anything like this. So many people.
Some lucky Dodger super fans are in Japan for the series. Jeff Baum is from Tarzana, a lifelong Dodgers fan. It was a birthday trip with his son, and they call it the trip of a lifetime. He says it was so cool to watch the Tokyo team and their fans.
They have a cheer for every single player's name. They have cheerleaders. They have giant flags. They have noisemakers. They're just constantly enjoying themselves, expressing their appreciation for each individual player.
Ohtani, right field! Ohtani with a titanic swing in Tokyo!
And while it might have been kind of quiet for some Dodgers, he says everyone cheers for Ohtani.
There was, I don't know, 25% of the people had some sort of Ohtani merch. Swag.
Yeah, the Dodgers merch, especially Ohtani merch, is everywhere.
Underneath the stadium, they have a store, and the line for the store was probably, I don't know, a couple thousand people. And inside the store was the specific merchandise for this weekend. And you know those videos of people going into Black Friday and like trampling each other? This was like 10 times worse than that.
Now, as for the differences between the Tokyo Dome and Dodger Stadium, Baum says, get this.
They also have these young ladies who walk around with beer kegs on their backs. You don't have to leave your seat if you want a beer.
I mean, yeah, sure. Beer from the tap right at your seat is cool and all. But have Tokyo fans tried to get out of Chavez Ravine parking lot in under 2 hours? Now that's thrilling. Today is St. Patrick's Day, when Irish people mark the death of Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, the holiday serving as a stand-in for celebrating the arrival of Christianity to the island of Ireland. For our modern purposes, St. Patrick's Day ranks up there among the revered American holidays like July 4th, Memorial Day, Labor Day, the Super Bowl, opening day of baseball season, as ready-made excuses to drink a lot. Our John Baird found some enthusiastic revelers toasting St. Patrick at the famed Tom Bergen's Bar on Fairfax early on this Monday morning.
So how are you guys? What time did you get here today?
6 a.m.
And you're still here like 3 hours?
We're going to be here all day.
We're going to be here all day. Literally. The bar closes at 2 a.m. That's the challenge. For the past 3 years, we've been trying to stay till 2 a.m.
Can you do it?
I think this year I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
The past years, it's been more like 10...
8 p.m. Yeah,
so what is it? What is it about this place, and what is it that draws you here?
We've created a bit of a community here. In line when we got here at like 5:58, we saw our friends from last year, the year before.
Yeah, it's the same like people that are coming here every year early in the morning. It just feels so good to be with them. Yeah.
Just love it here, the tradition.
Yeah, there's something about tradition, something about the community that is just really miraculous.
It's magical, honestly. Yeah.
Then again, let's be honest, when you're downing pints of green beer at 6 a.m., everything is kind of miraculous and magical. You go, girls. Finally, yesterday was marathon day for the city of Los Angeles, where over 26,000 maniacs and masochists ran a 26.2-mile course cutting through the city, starting out early Sunday from Dodger Stadium. The first American to win the race in over 20 years, Matt Richmond, clocked in a ridiculous time of 2 hours and almost 8 minutes. Just to break that down, that time requires running 26 miles at a ludicrous 5 minute and 13 second pace per mile. That's insane. Our own Alex Silverman, KNX program director, survived the marathon and walked us through the grueling yet rewarding process. So let's start off with, how are you feeling today?
You know, hobbling around a little bit, kind of walking like I'm 95, but par for the course after running 26 miles.
And do you have kind of a smug sense of accomplishment that you can rub in all of our faces?
I mean, it seems like that's how you perceive me to be behaving today.
Every marathoner.
No, I am proud of it. I try not to rub it in people's faces, but, you know, there's a lot of training that goes into it, so I'm proud of it.
As well you should be. Grudgingly, I admit that. Where's the medal? I thought for sure you'd be wearing the medal today.
That would be a step too far to bring that in and wear it around today. I did wear it out to the bars yesterday afternoon.
Okay, good. All right. And by the way, good choice making the marathon the day before St. Patrick's Day so you can drink off the pain today.
Right.
So walk listeners who have not run a marathon through your thought process for all 26 miles. I have to imagine... You're like, you start off probably full of adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
You probably hit a little bit of like frustration and pain, I don't know, midway through mile 10 to 13, and then probably get real high again. And then mile 20 to 26, I hear, is like the worst. So walk us through it.
Mile 20 to 26 is absolutely the worst. But, you know, you're right. You start out, you're, you know, kind of amped up because you're in, you have to wait like an hour and a half, 2 hours, because everyone has to, because of the logistics of it, getting to the starting line. And it's chilly out there. Everybody's trying to do things to stay warm and, you know, stay fresh. And so you're ready to go by the time you start going. And what you really have to do is not come out of the gate too fast, because you don't want to, you know, burn it out at the beginning. But, you know, it felt really good for the first few miles. Got into, you know, mile 10 to 13 or so. And I'm like, I'm speeding up. I'm kind of flying a bit. But you have to keep in the back of your mind that you got to pace yourself for the whole rest of the thing, because by mile 16, 17, you really start to feel, oh, man. All right.
Do you kind of like black out at a certain point and like shut your brain off to just endure
time,
the pain?
Time warps for sure.
And then just describe the vibes out there. I mean, going into this, a message was that it was a marathon of unity, if you will, considering a couple of really hard months for the city and county of Los Angeles.
It really felt, and marathons tend to do this. You know, you'd look around and you'd see people from all over the place coming together. You saw people running with donation QR codes for firefighter charities on their backs, and you know, carrying flags and all and that sort of thing. Go down San Vicente, basically to the Santa Monica city limit, and so you get pretty close, and there was definitely a feeling there. That was probably the most packed the course was with people cheering you on, and you really felt like you were getting into the heart of something when you got down into that Brentwood area.
We love you, Alex, and we're super proud of you for completing LA Marathon. But seriously, you get a 48-hour window to wear that marathon medal, and then we never want to see it again, like ever. That's it for St. Patrick's Day post-marathon day Monday edition of the LA Local. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Go out there and have a shot and a pint for me. See you guys tomorrow.